Well, good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. We are multi-platforming it today. And before we get underway, a reminder, if you are hearing us live on the radio, you're always welcome to be part of the conversation, no matter where that might lead us, either via email or by phone, and the phone number 850-414-1234. We also have an email address for you, perspectives@wfsu.org, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. I'm Tom Flanagan. And to let you know what we're going to be talking about today, an interesting phenomena has occurred over the past probably 30 to 40 years specifically, and that is a growing realization that the wider the diversity of personnel that any organization has when it comes to not only racial and ethnic backgrounds, but also skill sets and personality types and all that multiplicity of people considerations, the stronger, the more resilient, the better that organization is. And we thought we would take a good example of that. And it happened to be very, very close to home in the persona of Florida State University. We are so happy to be joined by the president of FSU, John Thrasher. It's good to see you, sir.
Tom, good to see you. Thank you for having us.
We also have FSU's chief diversity officer and associate vice president for human resources, Renisha Gibbs. Hey,
good
Renisha.
Good morning. Good morning.
We have joining us on phone, Enam Sakina, founding chair of Power of We at Florida State University, who has fled the confines of the Florida capital city for Georgia's capital city up in Atlanta, where she now is a grad student at Emory University and is pursuing a master's in public health. Hey, Enam, how you doing?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you. We also have, I guess we could call your successor here at FSU, Issa Coley, who is the present chair of the Power of We. Issa,
good morning.
Well, before we get started, let's, because you only have a short time with us, Enam, let's talk about the Power of We, that initiative, and what led you to promulgate that here at FSU. Where did that come from? Was that your idea? Was it a collaboration? What happened?
Sure. So around the time of fall 2015, I was looking around campus and thinking to myself that, you know, we have this rhetoric around diversity that does exist at FSU, but oftentimes it doesn't translate into reality when we think about how students interact with each other. When I look at our students, and myself included, we often retreat into circles and islands where we're surrounded by people who look like us and think like us and agree with us. And that's natural, that's human instinct, but I think some of the most transformative experiences, some of the best learning, the innovation, the exciting ideas really emerge from engagements that happen across our differences. So when we interact with people of different backgrounds, different life experiences, different world views, and I think, unfortunately, in a climate that is so polarized and so charged, we feel less inclined to connect with people who are different from us. And so the idea really emerged from that recognition that the way we truly take advantage of diversity is by engaging with it, not being afraid of it, not retreating from it, but engaging with it. And so we decided to come together as a group of students who were concerned about this retreating that was happening into our echo chambers, and as students who felt compelled to defy that. And so we were fortunate to have an incredible ally and partner in President Thrasher and other senior university administrators and leaders, and Power of We really emerged from that collaboration. So in some sense, the initiative is really a testament to its own premise. We really embody what we espouse in that the initiative would not have been possible if it weren't for people of such different lenses and points of view and vantage points at our campus coming together and deciding to do something about this.
Well, that's a wonderful handoff, and let's ask President Thrasher here. There is a gulf between recognition and reality. So how do you take that concept and make it viable?
Well, you find an Enam Sakina, if you start with that. No, I mean that in all sincerity. Enam when she was here, came to me with that concept and idea. And we'd had a couple incidents, I think, too, Nam, if you'll remember, mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. focused on some of these, the need for some of these types of you know, outreach types of programs to a more diverse community in our at FSU. And, you know, Nam and I hit it off personally, and certainly liked the idea. And it just mushroomed, and she did an incredible job of organizing it and coming up with the kind of ideas that that made a difference on our campus. And I credit her with an incredible amount of success for that program, as well as actually making something happen. As she said, you know, we talk a lot about this, and I think probably every university does. But actually putting something in action, putting something on the table, putting people together finally at the final resource made a difference. And I think the program, has evolved. East is doing a great job. We're still doing some of the same things, but some of the same things we did work, and they worked well. But, you know, the point was we not only had it in the community, in the FSU community, but we also had an outreach to the local community too. And I think that was a very successful effort also in making all of this come together. And, you know, we've had incidents since then. We've had issues. But this platform that is created, I think, is one that we can draw together and still resolve some of these things as they go forward. But I give her all the credit in the world for making this a success, and Issa for following up and doing the right things also in this program.
Yes, and Issa, I really want to tap into what you're doing here to follow up on that and to drive that forward. But Enam, I recall the first time that I met you, that was at a kickoff for one of our now perennial longest table events, and you were trying to get more student involvement in this community through that event. How successful were you in that regard?
Well, Longest Table has become a signature tradition that Power of We is thrilled to bring to FSU every semester. And it really, I think, is emblematic of the type of programming that Power of We is able to orchestrate for FSU, but also really the need that it's able to fill on a college campus. Power of We has now become recognized as a national model because other campuses are struggling with similar things. And when I am on the road connecting with other universities, they're really compelled by just the simplicity and the beauty of something like the Longest Table, where we gather as members of the campus community who come from all different walks of life and choose to break bread and build bridges, as we say. And beyond the Longest Table, we've been able to develop new ideas along the lines of our Shared Spaces series, which is a panel plus roundtable conversation that brings together people of differing ideas who happen to disagree on a central topic that our campus or our country is currently struggling with. And so we had one that centered around the Confederate statue controversy, and we were able to have a constructive conversation across difference, which is something that seems to be lacking in this polarized time. And so really what we're in the business of doing is building capacity among our students to engage across differences, to connect with ideas that are different from their own, to value the fact that we have these different perspectives, so that when they walk across that stage and graduate, this is something that they bring into the world, into the workforce, into the future companies, the future organizations that they lead. At the end of the day, that's really the goal of every university, is to prepare our young people to face the challenges of our world. And I think the defining challenge of our time is really how we navigate our differences and our diversity.
Those are really high aspirations, and Issa Coley, if I can ask you,
yes.
How do you take that as a launching pad, what I've just talked about, and build upon it and try to keep that momentum going?
I think the biggest thing is learning how to use diversity as an action, as something that is not just a descriptive of what we want to look like, but how we work as a university. And the way we do that, I mean, the best example I can give you is just the board composition. We are really diverse, and not just, you know, our ethnicity. We're diverse in our involvement, in our ideological divide, in our life experiences, in our socioeconomic statuses, in our majors and everything. So I think that is the biggest thing, just using it as a tool rather than tokenizing it and making it into an image.
Well, it has to be a major priority because, Renisha Gibbs, that is your bailiwick. Your very title is involved with diversity and all. And again, the rubber meets the road. How do you make that happen at as broad and gigantic an organization as Florida State University?
Well, I think one of the approaches we've used is recognizing that it's not one person's responsibility, that it's all of our responsibility. And so when you look at the great work of the Power of We and what they've been doing, that's part of the overall approach. We focused a lot on making sure our campus community knows that there's not an office that has the magic solution for diversity. We do a lot of programming that pushes that education, training, and responsibility down to individual people and departments. And so collectively, the hope is all of us working together with our different perspectives and ideas create a better campus environment.
We'd like to hear from you, too, at 850-414-1234. We're talking about diversity and inclusion, and not just in the very academic, dry definition of those terms, but what it actually means when you have an organization. It can even be a small business. It can be a not-for-profit. It can be any group of people that has a common reason for being but wants to leverage some uncommon skill sets and uncommon ways of bringing all of that together in support of a larger something. So we'd love to hear from you, too. We're going to be joined momentarily by another individual who knows a thing or two about diversity and inclusion here on our special edition Perspectives. But right now we have to say goodbye to Enam Sakina. Thank you so much for your founding of the Power of We here at Florida State University, and all the best to you up there at Emory University. Thanks for joining us, Enam.
Thank you, Enam.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Take care, you all.
Bye.
And we'll be right back here on Perspectives. Don't go away. Magic of modern technology, we are multi-platforming this edition of Perspectives on WFSU Public Media, not only Facebook Live and then for FSU, but also live on WFSU FM, 850-414-1234. If you'd like to join the conversation about diversity and inclusion, and President Thrasher, those have become buzzwords,
yeah,
and kind of lost their meaning a little bit. And there's even some, I guess, pushback right now. People saying, oh, that's just, you know, it's wonderful. That's great. But it's not realistic.
No, it is, though. And Issa really capitalized it when her last comment she made about the need to bring different people together. And then also Enam said about, you know, what the real world is like. When you go out in the real world today, you kind of talked about it a little bit. You know, your organizations, whether profit, nonprofit, whatever they are, they take a team approach. And if you don't have some understanding of other cultures, other ethnicities, other religions, et cetera, where all of those things are brought together by that team, you're going to have problems, I think, in really working with that kind of an organization. And that's what big businesses are doing today. They're not relying on one person. I don't rely on one person. I have an incredible group of folks that are diverse in background and politics. We don't talk about any of those things in terms of what we do for Florida State. We talk about it in terms of what are the goals of we're all trying to achieve. And that starts right here at Florida State University. When you learn those basics fundamentals of how to get along, how to be civil, maybe how to disagree in a way that is appropriate, Those are fundamental things that I think carry over to the workplace or wherever you do after you leave the university. But what we have started here, I think, whether you call it diversity or inclusion or whatever you call it, you can put any kind of buzzword on it, it makes a difference. It makes a difference when you leave this university and get into the real world of what's actually going on out there.
Let's add Laura to the conversation here. She's joining us on line one here on Perspectives. Hey, Laura, we sure appreciate hearing from you. Thank you and welcome. Yes, Laura, go right ahead. And we're pushing some buttons back there. Let's see if we can talk to her now. Hey, Laura, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'd like to share a working definition that I have of inclusion. I've recently written a book. I'm a graduate of Florida State University. And I've recently written a book called Understanding and Implementing Inclusion in Museums. And I have a working definition for inclusion, since we're talking about it, because it is more than just a buzzword. Inclusion is the act of mitigating exclusion. It's combating the political, cultural, economic, and social factors that exclude people from society. So inclusion can't be talked about without addressing and acknowledging and working through exclusion.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So who used the term "don't include me out"? I remember reading that somewhere. Laura, thank you for the redefinition of that. But if I can throw it back at you, Issa,
yeah.
The default, and Enoch brought this up too, the default for, I think, people is we want to feel comfortable. We want folks like us, people who think like us, who react like us. Oh, it's warm, it's fuzzy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at home. And when we have to deal with different people, it can be a little bit uncomfortable.
I think the search for, you nailed it on the head, home, is particularly relevant when we're coming to a university, when we're far away from home, when we're not with our parents, when we're in a whole new world, we're on our own. So there's this tendency to, you come to college and you're on the search for home. And that is important. But equally as important is finding how you can step out of your comfort zone and how you can challenge the norm and how you can transcend the norm. And that is by exposing yourself to disagreement, by exposing yourself to subject matters that you're not acquainted with, by exposing yourself with theories and ideas and people who are different from you, look different from you, think differently from you, have different experiences. So it's that balance. I don't think it's either or. I just think it needs to be both.
Well, it also flies in the face of, I think, what I have seen from being on the university now for more than a decade, the conventional wisdom that university students of any age and any background are very insular and they only stay with their own and they don't like opposition and they become easily offended and all. It sounds like you're trying to break down some of those.
For sure. And I think that's kind of the point of why we're here. We're here to be challenged. We're here to learn. And that's the best way to learn, to disagree and to be exposed to what you never thought you could be exposed to.
Different ideas, debate, conflict.
Conflict.
Yeah, it happens. Renisha, how do you make that happen, though, when it becomes not just a matter of selecting students, but also staff at a university so that you do get a broad range of ideas and backgrounds and all that sort of thing?
Many different ways. I think it's about setting that expectation from the top, that this is important to us as a campus, that we understand that having different people at the table is very important and increases our ability to have, you know, better, more innovative ideas. You know, kind of what Laura was saying about inclusion, I think of it, it's an action verb. You know, it's action-oriented. So it's one thing to look around and say, our campus looks diverse. It's a completely different thing to make sure when we look around that everyone has a voice, everyone has an opportunity to be successful and to develop and to promote, that there are different voices at the table when we see there's a gap. And so that requires you to make some bold decisions and be, you know, conscious and looking out for that type of thing all the time. And so it's really more than just checking the box and saying our numbers look good, which is the old definition of kind of diversity, right? Okay, let's make sure we have this amount of, you know, this group and this amount of that group. Different from that is making sure every group is involved in the business of the university.
Let's jump on the phone again. Reed is waiting here a little bit further on down the line. A familiar face. I saw him just the other day. Hey, Reed. Good to hear from you. It is wonderful. You feel better now?
Oh, I'm feeling much better, actually. Well, I wasn't feeling bad the other day.
Well, enjoyed our conversation. What can we do for you today?
Oh, me too, man. I just want to say, I have to believe it's simply because President Thrasher is there that you threw out the word promulgate. I don't think I've ever heard you say that before on the air. But you know, I'm grateful that someone at least has moved the bar upwards. You know me, man. I'm not a cynic. But the incoming administration has not demonstrated yet, anyway, that they are prone to accepting this concept of diversity with open arms. I'm wondering how any of this might affect the budget for such programs and such focuses in terms of, you know, the political aspects of it. The world has changed in not a good way in the last couple of years, and I look at programs like this. I know how important they are. I know what good they can do, and I fear for them.
Well, I believe that President Thrasher has some passing knowledge of politics. Let's kind of.
Oh, you think? Yeah. Okay.
No, I actually think that more and more members of the Florida legislature. I can't speak for Congress. We don't get appropriations from Congress. We get grants through different organizations, the National Health Institutes, National Science Foundation, things like that that we compete for programs. But from the standpoint of the Florida legislature, you know, the fact that we're standing up for diversity and inclusion, to use those buzzwords again, but for the concepts that are part of them, I've not seen any pushback from the Florida legislature in respect to funding our university. Because we're advocating that, and in fact, we take during the legislative session, we try to take a diverse group of students, as well as certain members of our faculty who are expert in a particular area, down to the legislature to testify. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of what we're doing. I'm certainly don't apologize for it. And I think that's what the universities ought to be about. As Issa said and Anam said, you know, we ought to be a place where people can come with ideas, where they can come with discussion, where they can come with differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, still be productive in what we're doing. And that's what I think the Florida legislature has asked us to do. Florida State University is doing well in that, in my opinion, and I think we're being rewarded for it from the standpoint of the resources that we've been given over the last number of years. So I feel good about where we are. I'm certainly not going to back off from my standpoint about it. You know, one of the things I would tell you, though, is interesting when we talk about this, if I might, Tom, is, you know, I came from a different background. You know, I came here from the Florida legislature, and most people knew that I was a fairly conservative Republican member of the Florida legislature from the district that I represented. I have to tell you, though, when I got here and since then, I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot more about what Issa and Anam have been talking about and what Renisha does every single day to represent the state. I feel I have learned as a somewhat older person that, you know, these are the kind of things today that young people need to hear about and understand as they move into the world and in an effort to make the world a better place. And we've got so many issues out there. Civility is certainly one of them, and I talk about it all the time. If we can't have a good, positive discourse among each other, we're not going to do very well. And that's what we're learning at Florida State to do, I think, through these programs.
It's always good to hear from you. Thanks so much, Reed. We have another voice we want to add to the conversation here, someone with, again, more than a passing familiarity with diversity. And joining us by phone from right up the block is Dr. Murray Gibson, who is the dean of the FAMU-FSU College of Engineering. Dr. Gibson, so good to hear from you, sir.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for connecting. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's see. We have Issa and President Thrasher and Renisha Gibbs here. And now that you have joined us, talk a little bit about your experience of diversity there at what is, by its very definition, a very diverse institution.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I want to thank President Thrasher and President Robinson and FAMU for supporting this. It is unique. I think it's a jewel, a national treasure, actually. And to get to what's special about the college is the fact that it's about, somebody mentioned this diversity, not just of people, but other things. We have diversity of institutions. We have Florida State, which is a top research-oriented institution, moving into the top 25 nationally. And we have FAMU, who's maybe one of the things you can point to about FAMU is it is one of the top universities for improving the social mobility of its graduates, because it takes students who probably wouldn't otherwise go to college and makes them successful. And you put those two institutions together, and together they can do things that other individual institutions can't easily do. And one example of that is the fact that we have the most diverse population of engineering, of any top-ranked engineering school in the country. And engineering is less diverse than most other professions, and it's very important that we change that, for one reason being that the companies understand this, because the census says that the country is becoming more and more diverse, and if we don't tap into our skill and talent, we won't be able to, you know, flourish. And what's important about our diversity is pretty close to the U.S. population. We have 20% African-American students that mostly come from FAMU, but not entirely. And we have 20% Hispanic students that mostly come through FSU, but not entirely. Together, we have a population which is also 28% female, which is considerably above the national average. I want to see that number grow, which is very close to what the world looks like outside engineering schools, but not inside most of the top engineering schools. And why does that matter? I've talked to corporations, and it really comes to the word that you talked about, inclusion. The concern a lot of corporations have is that they can recruit minorities and underrepresented groups. There's an issue with pipeline, but they can recruit, but they can't retain them as well. There's evidence that the retention is poorer, and that's because they're not included. And so I think what we have to offer here is kind of a crucible for how, you know, while people are young and learning, they can be learning together in teams, working in teams which are diverse, and learning how to value each other. And I think that's an incredibly marketable skill, and also incredibly important, because that's what we have to do to be successful in the world as it changes. So that's something really special about this college on a national level that I'm very excited about, and I do really appreciate the commitment of both universities to making this successful, and the state.
And the proof is in the pudding, though, Dr. Gibson. So what is the outflow from this? What is the placement rate? What is the degree of success of those who go through the program at the FAMU-FSU College of Engineering?
We have a very good success rate so far, where I think within 6 months of graduation, you know, more than 4 out of 5 of our students already have a job or are in graduate school. And, you know, I think the majority of them, when you look afterwards, they find employment. The thing that really is striking is they find, if you ask the question, did you find employment in the field of your major, we do extremely well. Almost all of our students are able to do what they want to do, and that isn't typical of graduates today. They may graduate in one field and not be able to find a job there. But I think one of the stories that I need to do is tell, I want to attract more corporations to recruit here and to provide internships, because we haven't told the story about what's unique about this college very well until more recently, and I think we will be able to improve the success of our students by doing that, and also build stronger corporate relations between the two universities as well.
Issa, let's talk about the worthiness of diversity when it comes to your chosen profession or your aspirational profession.
Yes, well, I am a double major in digital media production and theater. And in the world of production and art, there has been a huge shift in the terms diversity and inclusion, again, making it more than just a buzzword, seeing diversity not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera, not just on stage, but behind the scenes. So that is where I'm going, and that is hopefully, you know, I'll be one of those voices. I am a woman going into the field, and I am an immigrant to the United States. I'm not a citizen of the United States. So in every scenario, I do bring a new, I feel like, a perspective that needs to be present. And that is something that we see in the schools themselves that are trying to improve, in the School of Theater and in digital, in the School of Communications every year talks about diversity and inclusion and how we can improve it, both, again, on stage and behind the scenes.
Which also adds then to the creativity, the innovation, all of these things as you move into these areas, because those arenas depend on that.
Depend on that. You depend on disagreement. You depend on working with people who are different from you. So you're learning the skills in school. I'm learning them here. But I'm going to learn them and I'm going to use them in the workforce in the future, hopefully.
We're talking about diversity and inclusion on a very special edition of Perspectives. And we have Roy and Bill also, we hope, standing on the line. If you guys will hold on to the line, you'll be first in line when we roll out of this upcoming timeout here on Perspectives. You're watching us on 4FSU, also Facebook Live, and listening to us on WFSU Radio as we talk about how to make an organization stronger, more resilient, and certainly more innovative and creative by leveraging the power of diversity and inclusion. And we want to hear from you at 850-414-1234 to add your comments to our conversation, or you can drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org is that email address. And we'll be right back in a moment. Include you on Perspectives, too. See, we're all about inclusion today. 850-414-1234. Before we go to the phones, here's a good example of diversity, because we're coming off of an athletic season where there were such high hopes and aspirations for FSU men's football. And we'll get them next year. But boy, did we kick it with women's soccer, absolutely. President mm-hmm. Thrasher.
And softball in June, too, Tom. Those two teams are incredible. And got to know a lot of those young athletes. And by the way, those young athletes are also students, and they're great students. You know, the soccer team had a young lady on it that had a perfect 4.0, grade average, was getting ready to graduate. Their overall grade point average at FSU is 3.2. Softball the same. I mean, these are talented young women who not only play athletics but also understand that they're going out and they're going to get a degree, and they're going to do things in the world that'll make a difference. And the talent that they show on the field is going to take over, I think, over into the other things they do in life. And couldn't be prouder of them.
And folks, a national championship by any other name is still a national championship.
And they're hard to win, I can tell you. They're hard to win.
Let's see. Bill has been a model of patience here. Let's see if he's still waiting on the line. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Perspectives. You still there, Bill?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Real fine. Thank you for hanging on. Appreciate that.
No problem. I just had a comment really inspired by Laura and her definition of inclusion, and the need to have some very critical conversations about the historical impact of the lack of inclusion in our society. We have some very tough conversations that need to be had, and I would like to challenge FSU, FAMU, and the city of Tallahassee to begin to look at the implications of inclusion, not just in joining in one aspirational agenda, but actually expanding to multiple aspirational agendas in communities that never had one or were never allowed to have one. And we need to really talk about diversity in terms of diverting away from just one agenda and have multiple agendas.
Okay, can you drill in on that a little bit, Bill? That's a good point here. Exactly. Let's talk about some of the examples of those multiple agendas, huh?
Well, I mean, if you talk about just what has happened to African Americans and the history of this country, our whole existence here has been a diversion from our true agenda and identity as a people. We now struggle with this conundrum of who are we and what is it that we are trying to achieve, what is it that we are trying to become. If, in fact, we are the FAMU is to only be what FSU is and only to be what University of Florida is, that's just one agenda. I think we need to look at how do we include FAMU, African Americans, and the diverse agenda, the diversion from this mainstream agenda that needs to happen at that institution. That FAMU is not FSU. It should not be, and it should not be University of Florida. But we don't have a vision of what it is to become in the future. What is the future in diversity and inclusion?
That's a great point. As a matter of fact, Dr. Gibson, if I can throw that into you, because you deal with students from both Florida A&M University and also Florida State University. And even though there's some commonality of purpose and curricula and all of that at the College of Engineering, you also have folks who come from different levels of expertise and background and all that. And somehow you got to make that work. How do you do that?
Yeah, no, I respect what he was saying. I think that, in fact, I think FAMU, we have to understand that FAMU does, I mentioned the social mobility, that's an example of something that FAMU does as an ability to nurture students who probably would not have the opportunity to go to college in numbers that large universities, large public top-ranked universities will never be able to accommodate. And I don't think, you know, I think that's got to be appreciated, and that shouldn't be lost. I mean, one of the things I've realized as the dean here is that I'm very glad that we have the FAMU, FSU College of Engineering, that we don't just have a separate institution that takes students, but we're not blending these two institutions, we're leveraging them. We have the culture of both of them and then the culture of the shared part. And I think we really are directly addressing the inclusion, both for minority and majority students, because basically, you know, I think students in FAMU, it's demonstrated that they can be very successful. The statistics showing HBCUs generate students who are happier and more successful after they graduate than from other institutions. But they're not used to living in the real world. And so we have here this hybrid where that is the case. And on the other hand, students at FSU who might be majority students are learning how to work and respect different points of view and different backgrounds and communicate. You know, engineering is a team sport. That's becoming more and more the case. And so if you don't know how to work on teams, not only learn how to work with those people, but also treasure their different perspectives. I have to tell you one story about, you know, at Apple, when they were talking about how they developed their iPhone, they had a team of engineers working very secretly developing the technology. And when they rolled it out, they discovered that no one on that team was a female. And when you had a fingernail that was long, their mechanism on the keyboard didn't work. So they could have used some different ideas and different perspectives. Eventually they fixed that, of course. But I think right from the beginning, you need to be building into not just the experiences, but also the creativity of different groups of people in order to make the products that are the best, to make the innovations that are the best, and to make society sustainable.
Okay, that's a great point. But Renisha Gibbs, back to Bill's issue that you may have multiple aspirations and desired outcomes when you have a wide diversity of folks. Not everyone wants to wind up in the same place.
Right, right. And I think there is space for all different types of universities. Even in Tallahassee, I think it's such a benefit to be in a town where we have a Research One institution and an HBCU and a pretty accomplished community college as well. Mm-hmm. And what that brings to the conversation. You know, in higher ed, I think it's our responsibility to have the difficult conversations, you know, to train our students, you know, to have the difficult conversations, to talk about these issues of what's the space for FAMU, what's the space for FSU, where does it overlap, what does the future hold? I think those are all very healthy conversations to have and just bring, you know, additional benefit to all of us.
Okay, let's see if Roy is still hanging on. He also has been a very patient person today. Hey, Roy, you still there?
I am.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Go right ahead.
Speaking of diversity and inclusion and dealing with different points of view, when is President Thrasher going to liberate Francis Epps? Francis Epps gave the land for Florida State University.
Okay, well, let's get an answer from the president.
Yeah,
here,
he didn't exactly give the land, but he certainly helped create the seminary west of the Suwannee back in the 1850s. We're going to do that very shortly. We have a space. We're working on a document that will be at right next to his statute, and it's going to be very near where it was on the Epps grounds of Florida State University, where the Epps building is.
No, but because let's face it, history is not always pleasant. It is not always tidy, and sometimes it is really messy.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with that? And even in your case, there students still have a very, I think, good grasp of history and fairness and all of those kinds of issues. Does that work into these questions as well when it comes to different points of view and different backgrounds and all?
I mean, it's an ongoing conversation, and it's something Power of We has tried to provide a space to talk about. We, last fall, we had an event called How Do We Honor Our Past and Overcome Its Darkness? It was a shared spaces event, and we had a ideologically diverse panel with differing positions based on whether they agreed or disagreed with different statues, controversial statues. And the conversations that came out of that were just, I think the conclusion was that we're learning and we're trying to figure out what is that balance and how can we continue to talk about it, not just fight about it over Facebook, not just fight about it over, you know, other social media sites, but how can we come together, look at the history, look at the research, look at the context, look at the impact, and figure out what is the best thing to do. And it changes in every situation. It changes. It's not just the statues. It's so much more.
Yeah. And to the most savvy politician at this table, Dr. Thrasher here, if you would, to talk about the political ramifications and how can we discuss and share and try to reach common ground if we demonize the
guy. We can't do it. And you know, in the Epps issue and a couple of others that we've had, Renisha Gibbs, sitting right here, helped us tremendously with a very, to use the word diverse again, a diverse group of folks who came together to discuss those issues, to research the background of some of the concerns that had been raised. And we came to a conclusion, and a good conclusion. And I think it'll benefit the university as well as everybody else.
A question here on Facebook from Mitchell, who wants to know about diversity in studies. There are multiple ways of getting your name out there in academia. And if we could talk a little about what's being done to have more robust studies done at FSU. The publish or perish conundrum certainly rears its head right here. But any thoughts on that? Diversity of, I guess, academic notoriety?
I would say, you know, If you look at some of our faculty and their accomplishments, I think you'll find a lot of that. I mean, it's just, I'm amazed by what all the great work our faculty are doing in different areas of study and different disciplines, you know, from the arts to the sciences to, you know, STEM-related things. And I think that's encouraged. We have an office that really focuses on, you know, providing opportunities for faculty to grow and develop and providing resources. And so it's very important to us, and I think it exists, but there's always an opportunity to grow and do differently and get better. And so I think that's something we continue to focus on.
Okay. And from your viewpoint, Dr. Gibson, since you're trying to attract more attention, certainly from the private sector when it comes to placing students from the College of Engineering, trying to get some additional involvement from some of the major technology firms and all that kind of thing, what are you guys up to in that regard?
Well, we're also trying to, you know, diversify our areas of research. And one of the things that sort of relates a little bit to what we've talked about is, I mentioned before, I think we're kind of like a crucible. We're the only place you can study in engineering this kind of, you know, social inclusion and diversity. And, of course, you're dealing with students whose minds are what they call plastic. They're still learning. So maybe this is a very positive thing. But we want to get, you know, sociologists, psychologists, educational experts, academics from both FAMU and FEC, we've talked to both, and business school academics, to look at how can you do that better? How can you take advantage? What are the obstacles to people working together when they're together? And this is something companies are also extremely interested in because they know they have that challenge, you know, in their own organizations. But it's an academic problem. So that's the great thing about academia. It really, you can study anything. And we're excited about that aspect of it as well, that we can learn how to do it better and we can show people maybe how to do it better.
If I could interject one little thing that occurred, this was a personal aside from several years ago. I was working in the private sector for a company that had an amazingly enlightened management, and they tapped Florida State University, specifically the psychology department. One of the leading lights there was brought in to do an evaluation of my company's leadership team, and they sequestered us away in a little condo over in Destin, and the psychology professor administered a Myers-Briggs personality profile to all of us. And this was a pretty older white guy organization, Renisha Gibbs, at the time. And so the feeling was maybe we weren't diverse enough, not just racially and ethnically, but also in skill sets and background. And that's exactly what the research out of the personality profile showed. We were really heavy in some areas, and in other areas, we were incredibly deficient. And so the recommendation came back, you folks need to recruit a greater diversity of people. You need more women. You need more folks from different backgrounds. You need introverts, extroverts, tech heads, intuitives, all that kind of thing. If you want to be a strong organization, they took the recommendation, and by gosh, it didn't. It solved every problem, but it solved a lot of them.
You just hit the nail on the head, Tom. Everything we do here and everything we've been talking about today is incremental. And we know we can do better. Success is never final. We've all got to continue to work on it. It's not something, President, I'll be gone at some point in time. Anam is gone. Isha's going to be gone in a few years, I'm sure. All of us, but we need to set up some examples and make sure that these types of programs are successful and are going to continue on, because we know if we stop at any given point, success is not going to be achieved, and we need to continue to work on it. So that's your point is we all need to be evaluated. We need to evaluate our programs. It needs to be done on a constant basis and to make sure that we're moving in the right direction.
You're saying that our organizations need to reflect the real world.
You sure do.
That what an incredible concept. Did you think you'd learn this when you came to Florida State University, Issa?
Little did I know. I did not know what I was getting myself into, but here we are, and it's going to help me for the rest of my life, you know?
Well, I want to give everyone an opportunity here for a couple final thoughts here. We just have a few moments to go. Dr. Murray Gibson over at the College of Engineering, any last words from you, sir?
Well, I really feel that this is a journey. And I wanted to make one comment when you talked about your experience with that company and the assessment. It's a challenge that you need to deal with. It's not easy to recognize talent in people who aren't like you. And so that becomes a barrier to absorbing new ideas and new talent. We have to work at that. But it's such a complex and challenging, but it requires a real commitment in order to move forward.
Dr. Murray Gibson, thank you so much. Renisha Gibbs.
I would just add on to what Dr. Gibson said. I think it's a natural tendency to hire like, is what we call it in the HR world, of hiring people that are like you. And so it's important for HR practitioners, administrators, you know, people in leadership positions to challenge that and to encourage people to hire not like yourself. Opposite opinions, opposite perspectives, different backgrounds, so that the conversation is robust and different and creative.
It can be a messy world, President Thrasher. Yeah.
I think the whole idea is what we've talked about is, and Murray said it, and Anam said it earlier, and the policy that I believe in is the commitment to this, not words, but the commitment, showing action, showing that we can make a difference in these areas, and to have incredible young women and students like Anisha, Isha, and others that are involved in this is just a tremendous asset to Florida State. And she said it's going to benefit her. I guarantee you it'll benefit us a lot more in the long run of what she's doing. And these are things that we've got to continue on. And the commitment's there, and we've all got to follow through on that commitment.
President Thrasher, thank you so much. And to our entire panel, thank you for being part of this very special Perspectives today. Produced by WFSU in Tallahassee, technical assistance today by Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls handling all of that. We also had our entire WFSU TV crew, Suzanne Smith, Paul Dam, Brandy Staney, Tara Stokes, and Houston Brandon, our WFSU Facebook Live and WFSU.org. Person in charge, Tricia Monahan. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we step aside for our Winter Pledge campaign. We urge you to support your favorite public media outlet. We'll return December 20th as Darko Butterock, the music director and conductor for the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, joins us to spin his favorite hit tunes of the season. We hope you'll be with us then right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.